How do you execute an SEO strategy to grow your brand quickly? And much more, how do you grow your personal brand to help your company brand? I had Barrett O'Neill. He is a consummate entrepreneur. He started several companies, including Brightline Media and On Demand Storage, two companies that are doing very different things, but he's applying some of the same philosophies and same strategies that are working great. You're going to want to hear how he does it and how you can do it too.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
Hey, welcome, welcome. This is Sastery in the Making, and I am Matt, your host. I am really excited to have you here. This is one I'm really looking forward to. I've got Barrett O'Neill with me today. Barrett, how you doing?
Doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And guys, Barrett is the man. We were just talking right before this. He's been able to build his personal brand really, really quickly. He's gone from 2,500 to about 10,000 followers on Twitter within a month. He's done it through a lot of great threads, but a lot of what he's done is really, really smart. And we're going to talk a little bit about how he's been able to build his businesses as well in some of the same similar fashions. So a little bit about Barrett. He's the founder and CEO of Brightline Media. And what do? They provide SEO management to companies that want to turn their websites into digital assets. He's also the co-founder at On Demand Storage. And really, that's a full-service technology-based storage company that provides pickup, storage, return of customer belongings. It's really, really slick what they're doing over there. And the story on how it came to be is really amazing. Perfect to be here on Sastery in the Making. So thank you once again, Barrett, for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So tell me what's going on with you lately and what's coming up.
Yeah. So lately I've been working on, as you mentioned, Brightline Media and on-demand storage. I really split my time between those two. And on the on-demand storage front, we have some exciting stuff. We're looking into some acquisitions and then also potentially rolling out a container storage model that we're going to sell dealerships, almost like a franchise, similar to Pods, who will probably be one of our competitors. And then on the Brightline side, just, you know, I've been, as you mentioned, using Twitter to grow my personal brand, to grow that business and just get connected with other business people and see if I can be useful on the digital front.
And that's how we got connected on Twitter. Barrett's out there. He's putting out great stuff. By the way, if you don't follow him, he's an amazing follow. Shares some great stuff on how you can level up. So definitely go check him out there. But that's how we connected ourselves. And I just loved his story. I want to hear more about how you started on-demand storage from your dorm room. I mean, that's incredible. Tell us how that happened.
Yeah, it was fun. So at Babson College is an entrepreneurial focused education. And so coming from a family of entrepreneurs, I've always had the itch, and I got an internship at UBS, the bank. And that's when I realized internships pay, I think it was $14 an hour. So I started running some numbers in my head, and I realized it was about $4,200 for the whole summer. And I'm like, that's not going to cut it. Okay. So I went across the hall and I said, hey, there's a lot of international students here. Do you want to be my business partner? And we'll store these kids' items. So I coded a little website. He put flyers under every door, and we ended up getting 67 students, I think.
Wow.
And the average student has like 5 to 7 items roughly. And so we didn't have a plan to store it anywhere. So I actually asked my parents if I could store all the stuff in the basement. I told them it was like 10 kids. So we stored like, it was something, what's the math on that? Like 350 to 400 items in my parents' basement. We always say it was the greatest business ever. It was like 97% profit.
Amazing. So, yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
and then we all went to work for a year. And I worked at an investment company and I said, this isn't for me. And then we bought the domain on-demand storage, and we've just been filling up warehouse space and storing students around the country really ever since.
I think that's fantastic. Like, yeah, you see the need and you find the challenge and you come up with the solution. Amazing.
Yeah, well, at Babson too, there's a huge international population and they tend to be really wealthy. So what really triggered it is when you see kids taking groceries out of their Ferrari, right? You know, they have a little bit of disposable income. So we said, how do we reroute a little bit of that our way? And that's what we came
reroute. It's a great term, reroute. Yeah. I love that. So I think it's super cool because you looked at the internship, you looked at what you were doing on the entrepreneurial side, and I have found myself that the amount of learning that I've gotten from my entrepreneurial work and startups is incredible. You learn from all facets of a business, and what I've learned there is much deeper than my, you know, formal education. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the education is great. I'm definitely not an anti-college person. I think the growing up and socializing is great. But yeah, I mean, I think when you have boots on the ground, and especially upcoming Twitter thread on this, by the way, is about having a little bit of skin in the game and how that forces you to learn quickly and accelerates that growth curve. I always say, if I truly want to learn something, I put money into it because I know that I'll be 100% focused on trying to get a return on that. So yeah, I think that's really, it's slow at first, but then you learn quick when you're losing money because you don't have a long way to go if you're not making any. So I totally agree.
I think that's so true. And actually in the SaaS world with a lot of my clients, they've experienced this as well. Skin in the game. It's really important. If you think about it, if you try to get people into your product and you get them in a free trial, a lot of times free trials don't work because people get in and they didn't really put any skin in the game. And so they don't devote themselves to trying to learn the product, to implementing it into their workflows, and they really never get anywhere. Now, fortunately, we've been able to come up with something called the Free Trial Conversion Maximizer, which is a process that makes it so that you convert a huge amount of free trials. But unless you have the right process, sometimes free trials don't work because of that skin aspect. And I myself, as an entrepreneur, I totally believe in it because when you put some money into a business, you're extremely motivated to make sure that you see a return on that. I totally agree, Barrett.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I also think I'm probably one of those people that's on about 400 free trials of different softwares, and I'm not converting that well. So I think there's something to what you're saying.
I'm the same way. I do a free trial. I do three clicks and then I'm out of there. And I never go back. So I totally get it. And you did mention that you're going to franchise your product. I think that's amazing. I actually franchised a business one time. We took a real estate community management business and franchised it. We were the first ones to ever do it. And it's a completely different sale than a regular sale. So I think that's amazing that you're going to be doing that.
Yeah. So we're rolling this out. Our goals that we've had, we're referring to them as dealerships. And so the first dealership is in central Massachusetts. And we're planning to roll out our first cohort on April 1st, between 10 and 12 additional dealers. So we've started those conversations. And really what it is it's the mobile storage units. And so we have 16-foot containers right now. They're top of the line, really, really nice. And what we realized is there's a lot of business owners out there who own assets and they're not maximizing the cash flow off those assets. For example, a restoration company, a moving company, these are people that are dealing with this customer base regularly and often renting these containers. Pay yourself. So that's really where the idea came from. And so we've spun that out of on-demand storage and we're partnering up with a very influential leader in the moving and storage industry. And that's really where this idea came from. So we have a little bit of the old guard, a little bit of the new guard, and we're kind of combining the technology combined with what he knows, relationships and about a physical business. And we're planning to empower other people to generate more cash flow from their existing cost structure. And that's really that's it right there. And we're getting good feedback. So we're excited about it.
I can imagine. It sounds like an amazing strategy. That's phenomenal. Let's shift gears a little bit. I want to know what's going on with Brightline Media. What made you create that business and how is that serving people?
Yeah, so it's serving people through, we do web development, a little bit of software development, but really heavily focused on search engine optimization campaigns. And I got into that through on-demand storage. We actually took a $75,000 high interest loan, which is not advisable. And we thought you could just dump it into pay-per-click and then you make a bunch of money. We learned the $75,000 way that that's not how that works. And so somebody had to learn how to get some traffic to our website. So I said, I'll do it. And it turned out that till this day, we really don't spend anything on paid ads. It's just all inbound inquiries through our business. And so, you know, it's great. And so our customer acquisition cost is really low, which allows us to invest more in our employees as opposed to paid marketing campaigns. So that really got me excited about SEO. And I said, whoa, it was theoretical before I started work, you know, go from click to to cash in the pocket, like just something about going through a process that makes it really exciting. And so I started working with some vendors of the company. And then I just, it just grew from there really. And now, you know, we'll work on anywhere from really 25 to 35 sites at a time. It's kept boutique on purpose. I think that as agencies get too big, results revert to the mean, and we're trying to operate above the mean. So therefore we're not trying to be the biggest agency. We're trying to get results and, you know, be creative and hands-on.
I think that's really smart. I love that. So if we think about SEO and something that, like you said, it creates a lot of inbound traffic, and if you do it right, it's going to work great. But why is an SEO strategy so important for a SaaS company? So we have a lot of people who are in SaaS listening to this show. How can an SEO strategy impact a SaaS company?
So I think the way SaaS companies typically get paid, which is either on a monthly subscription or an annual subscription, just aligns really nicely with SEO. And that's because once your campaign is going, your cost should stay relatively flat, but then the return on investment can continue to increase over time as you layer more customers on. Where with, if you think about a service business, SEO is still very valuable for a service business, but they need to continue to get new customers, and they don't reap the rewards from customers months or years from now. And so we found a niche with SaaS companies just because I think the service, when done well, is really beneficial to SaaS companies because of that, just the way that they're typically paid compared to other types of businesses.
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with that. So what would you say are some of the mistakes that these early stage companies are making with their SEO business strategies?
I would say not doing it. The only way to get organic traffic that converts is to start doing SEO. And I think it can be really complicated when you go online and start searching it, but I would advise any early stage company, make it somebody's job to put out 1500 words of content per week. And that right there is going to put you ahead of so many other early stage companies. And that's about as basic as it can get, but you can't lower your customer acquisition cost past a certain point with paid, right? Because as more players enter the space, those bids are going to get more expensive. On the contrary, as more players enter the space, that real estate you own is going to allow you to capture leads and customers from other people's marketing. That's my favorite part about SEO, is like someone sees somebody else's product, they search it by function or category, and you can come up and take their customer. And that's maybe the most exciting part about it to me, if you can own those category searches. So start putting out content, or else, you know, acquisition costs will stay flat, which you don't have any advantage, right? Unless you have the lowest cost to acquire a customer, really.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think not enough people are thinking about that. That's a really interesting point, that if you do it right, someone else spends a lot of money on marketing. Somebody searches them or searches a keyword about them, and you pop up. And how amazing is that, that you can feed off of what they have done if you do things right within SEO. But I think it also kind of goes back to what we were talking about before. You know, it's like that diamond miner that's real close, but then stops. Do you see that a lot of people kind of do a few articles and then give up?
Yeah. I mean, I think any, whether it's social media, and I would even throw organic social into the same category for this topic, which is consistency is the only thing that matters when it comes to organic anything. And it's because it's earned media, right? You have to earn it. It's like anything else. You can't earn a scholarship if you don't put in the time to become a really good athlete or artist or musician, or, you know, spend time studying for the SATs. Nothing is free. So yes, it's organic traffic, it's free, but the cost is the effort, you know, or pay someone to put in the effort for you. But for early stage companies in particular, I find that you can start to get organic customers with the resources you have in house, and you know your product really well. Things like YouTube, it's a Google product, huge influence on SEO. You can take out your iPhone and film. So it doesn't have to be great. Look at some of the great creators out there right now and look at their early stuff. It's like super low quality, but that's where they got started and it worked, and they just kept the ball rolling from there. So it's just about continuing to do it. You know, on the Twitter point, I tweeted for a long time until I actually committed to a strategy and executing it. And now I'm seeing the results. So I think just stay consistent.
Excellent point. And I love that consistency, persistency, don't give up. SEO takes a while to hit. It's really important to keep at it. I see too many of my clients who came to me struggling, and I tell them, hey, you know, what are you doing? And it looks like they've given up too soon. So I love that. How can the best companies, obviously, I think that, you know, consistently creating, I love that 1500 words. That sounds like a process you could follow. You can make that happen. And it's funny because I look at some bigger companies who maybe haven't done this or haven't done it in a while. And you see their most recent article was like October. And then the most recent one before that is like May. And you're like, okay, you're not really focusing on this. That's super, it makes me kind of lose trust in them, you know? But if you yeah. see a new article every week, that makes it a little bit easier to trust that company, right?
Totally. I mean, there's something to be said about just putting free information out there and adding value to people is the new way of selling. It's like, it's weird. Business feels like it shifted in general, where it used to be like, hold all your secrets very close and don't tell anybody anything. And now it's like, the more free information you give away, the more money you make. And I don't know when this happened, but it's incredibly interesting. And I think it's in the same vein as that, where it's like, hey, not every piece of content has to be earth shattering, but it's about showing up. And again, the consistency, like be in the game as opposed to on the sideline, and just, you know, eventually you'll have that piece that catches fire, and who knows what that can do for your business if it gets picked up by the right publication or the right person puts it on their social. So, you know, you really just have to stay in it, and it definitely builds trust.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you're so right. If you share value, if you're out there talking about how you can help people and educating them on something, maybe there's something they should be doing that they need to be focusing on, that's what's going to get people to believe in you, to trust you and your brand, and to want you to help them more. I think that's absolutely what it's all about. I learned that far too late in my career. Too bad. I missed a lot of opportunity. But now that I know it, I see the value. You know, we have this podcast and all we're doing is sharing value. And I have a ton of people who come to me saying, hey, we want more help. Help us out. It works great. So I completely believe in that. But let's say you get some articles, you're doing some things, then you've got the whole click-through rate on Google. How do you think people can best improve their click-through rate once they have this stuff out there?
It's a great question. I think it's really about creating enticing meta descriptions and titles for these articles. And Google's been messing around lately and actually substituting in their own titles. So this may be subject to change a little bit in the future. But you know, it's about having a call to action. It's like anything else. If you could have a beautiful website, if you don't tell people what to do, they won't know. They're not going to create an action on their own. So in that little snippet underneath your listing in Google, you've worked really hard. Someone is seeing your listing, give them a call to action, you know, whether it's, you know, a demo on the page or book a call or learn more, whatever it is, you've got to tell people that they have the opportunity to do something once they click. And I think the best calls to action are letting them know there's free value there, right? It's like when you open a page and the first thing that pops up is a window for your emails. Like, that's not a great user experience. Let people enjoy the content, let them get it, and they'll keep coming back if it's great. So that just goes back to great content. And then put a snippet there that makes sense and asks people to do something with what they're seeing.
Got it. And do you feel like each page should have different calls to action? Should the whole website have the same call to action? How do you guys design that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think it depends a little bit on the company and do they have different features? And, you know, maybe do they have one customer? Do they have multiple customers? So, you know, if they have one customer that they're serving, I think, you know, consistency and maybe just picking up the phone and calling them and saying like, hey, what are you interested in? I like to ask my customers what they want. So I would just, you know, survey 10 to 20 of them. And that should be a pretty good representation of the entire customer base and say, hey, what are you looking for when you go to a website? What do you want? And, you know, then just make that the call to action. If there's different markets, then, you know, maybe do the same across different markets. But I would just ask rather than speculate. It's cheaper.
I totally agree. It is definitely cheaper. And I love that. I don't think enough people have a good feel for what their market is looking for, what their target buyer is really needing or interested in. And I think having those conversations is critical, but I myself don't do it nearly enough. And I'm sure that others are also missing out on that. So, you know, all this being said, what advice would you have for early stage software companies, software founders who are getting started, trying to get the ball rolling? How can they kind of create some buzz and get their name out there?
Yeah, so definitely create the content, 1,500 words of content. And I think if for maximum impact, what I would do is find keywords. You can use tools like SEMrush or Ahrefs, which have some free trials and paid versions, which are reasonably priced and they're well worth it. And find keywords that are longer tail, meaning, you know, not one word, maybe not two words, three, four words that have intent around purchasing, you know, like is like best lead gen software, right? That implies someone is looking for an option that can help them achieve a goal. And focusing on those keywords are easier to rank for because there's less search volume, but they're also closer to the dollar, right? So like, you know, really broad keywords like sneakers are, you know, up here and really broad, but, you know, basketball sneakers is way further down the funnel, right? Someone's identified what they're looking for. It's the same concept. You just have to apply that to whatever your product, whatever value your product is providing.
I like that idea best, because if you're doing that, then people are thinking, I need to buy something, but I want to buy the best one. So they're searching that. And if you can come up with some of those terms, those long tails, by the way, long tail for those people out there means multiple words together that kind of make one long keyword phrase. Then that seems like a great way to get the people who are ready to take action now, right?
Yeah. And here's a trick that I think would be really valuable to your audience with the early stage SaaS founders is, as you know, a great way to spin up a SaaS business is to take one feature from a bigger SaaS product and spin it up and make it a little bit better and build a product around that, right? I think things like HubSpot, they're great. They do a lot, but it's almost overwhelming at a certain point. And so what I've seen work really, really well is alternative to insert company, bigger company. A lot of people are searching stuff like that because they've had the HubSpot demo and they say, I don't need that. Or they've had a Salesforce demo and they say, hey, I'm a three-man company. I can't afford that. Or I don't need all of that. I just need a piece of it. And so that's worked really well. And you can even build out landing pages around that and maybe not hook them up to your nav bar, but just kind of have them one way floating out there. You know, XYZ company / alternative to company, and build content around that. And it works really well. And those convert very high because you're giving people exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah, I would imagine that would convert really high. And that's a super smart idea I haven't heard anybody else bring up before. And speaking of, I mean, Barrett's got lots of other ideas. Unfortunately, we're out of time today, but I want to make sure that people can contact you, because if you guys are looking for an SEO strategy, if you're looking for help growing and getting more leads, Barrett can certainly help you out. Brightline Media, his company, is awesome at this. So Barrett, how can our audience learn more about you and what you're doing over there?
Yeah, so you can go to brightlinesocial.com. That has everything that we're doing. You can also follow me on Twitter, and I have my DMs open all the time. So I'm always talking with people in there and giving tips and setting conversations in there. So feel free to reach out to me. I enjoy talking about this stuff, surprisingly. So, you know, the door is always open, and look forward to connecting with anybody who listens here today.
Perfect. And we'll put all of your information also in the show notes. So if you're listening, you'll be able to see it all right there. But this has been great. Barrett, thanks for coming on and sharing all this with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Matt. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And for everybody else out there, thank you for coming. Really appreciate you coming and listening or watching wherever you are. So please subscribe to the show. Hit the subscribe button right now. That way you're going to be notified of any new episodes coming out. You'll know that you're going to be connected with these great leaders, these great innovators and creators like Barrett, so you don't miss out on any of the other amazing tips to help you grow your business. Thank you very much for coming. We'll see you next time. Take care.